Welcome back to Agriculture Today. I'm Sarah Moyer, and it's not only on hot summer days in Kansas that Kansans are thinking about water, and especially those Kansas producers. And in the studio today, we have an agricultural economist here at Case State and a leader on a research project related to water. Nathan Hendricks is our guest. Thank you for coming on and joining us, Nathan.
Thanks for having me.
This project you're involved with is looking at the depletion of aquifers and more specifically the economic impacts that come with that. So would you, in brief, give us an explanation of what those are?
Yeah, so what we're looking at is different policies, different ways that producers could try to reduce the rate at which aquifers are being depleted. And there's lots of reasons why producers themselves could be interested in slowing down that rate of depletion. And the main reason is that if the depletion is occurring too fast, that will be reflected in land values in the sense that in the future, if they can pump less, then that'll mean less returns from irrigated agricultural production in the future, and that impacts land values today and certainly will have impacts on the value of the land and returns to agricultural production in the future.
And before we go any further, if we could clarify some terminology that people might hear if they're doing their own research or are at something where they're talking about this issue. So the first one that I'd like you to clarify would be LEMA. What is that about?
Yeah, so LEMA stands for Local Enhanced Management Area. This is a tool that the legislature passed in 2012, I believe, and it gave groundwater management districts the opportunity to create their own management plan. And so they could come up with their own, you know, usually this is going to have some form of a restriction on how much irrigators could extract and other things that can be part of that plan as well, different flexibilities in how the water is used, but it would be implemented and approved. A LEMA is approved by the board of directors of that groundwater management district. Also has to go through some approval through the chief engineer and others, but the key approval is at the board of directors.
And another term would be WCA. What is that about?
Yeah, so WCA is a water conservation area, and this is another tool that the legislature has given to producers. And the key difference here is that a WCA is completely voluntary, and it doesn't have to be approved by the board of directors of the groundwater management district. And so a group of farmers could come together and create their own plan of how they want to see water conservation happen. So they can come with their own plan, implement that, still needs approval by chief engineer, but there's no other approvals needed. But it's completely voluntary. So in a WCA plan, farmers choose whether or not they're in that. In the LEMA plan, the board of directors defines whether that restriction is going to happen or not, and then everybody within the boundary in a LEMA, it's mandatory on them.
A large portion of the project that you're leading is involved with wanting these programs to be successful and studying what is successful with them, is it not?
Yeah, right. So what we're really looking at is what are different ways that we could construct these LEMAs and WCAs in a way that gets support among farmers. So the key thing here is to look at different ways that we could restrict water use and that we could limit that. What kind of flexibilities do we have in there? Do we allow trading of water or not? All sorts of different ways that you could construct this policy to achieve the same goals. And the question is, does the way that we construct these, the way that we reduce water use, are farmers going to be more willing to come on board with certain ways of doing that? And trying to understand what would be the ways that we could do that where farmers would give the most support to a water conservation plan.
Because obviously these efforts of water management have long-term benefits.
Yeah, so there's a lot of uncertainty for farmers going into this. And if they reduce water use, how much are their returns going to decrease in the short run? So they can see, yeah, in the longer run, we're going to have more water, and so that's going to allow me to irrigate more. But in the short run, if I apply less water, is that going to reduce my returns? Is it not going to? Can I increase profitability? There's a lot of uncertainty there. And so I think there might be ways that we can create flexibilities in these plans that would reduce some of that uncertainty for them and give them a little bit more willingness to go into some of these.
And you provided a couple examples of what some of those flexibilities would be for water management and in the policies. What for a LEMA or a WCA would be another possibility?
Yeah, so a lot of this will be part of the project as we go forward and thinking about what could be some different ways, talking with farmers, coming up with some new ideas. And so that'll be a large part of our project. And one of the things we also want to look at, though, is it possible to combine these LEMAs and WCAs? And how do we use the voluntary to come alongside the LEMA and support the LEMA in ways that if farmers want things done a little bit differently, can they create a WCA? So I think there's some interesting potentials there, but they need a lot of thinking through how to do that well.
So who else is involved with the project in collecting some of this information?
Yeah, so a key person involved here at Kansas State is Dave Stewart. He's in the Department of Civil Engineering, a hydrologist who's thought a lot about this. So he can help me out a lot with the hydrology and give some projections of what are the impacts. And also a key question for him that he's going to be looking at is, how big do these management areas need to be such that if farmers can serve within the area, that they are able to experience the benefits of that water conservation? So the aquifer, a lot of people think of this as just a big tub of water underneath so that if somebody extracts in one area that it reduces water for everybody, but it's not really that way. It's a little bit more like an egg carton is my understanding, and that doesn't describe it exactly well either. But if farmers conserve and reduce their water use, most of the benefits in the future to the aquifer will be local. The water doesn't move a lot. So that's one of the things you'll be looking at, how big these management areas need to be according to the hydrology. And then I also have partners at Michigan State, an economist at Michigan State, and at University of Tennessee as well that have a lot of experience and some expertise thinking about survey design in trying to understand some of these as we survey farmers, and also just in thinking about the different types of policy mechanisms we can use. And so I've partnered with them to work with it.
Whatever results that you all are finding through this project could be used as a model for other places in the U.S. that are thinking about more conservation efforts or avoiding depleting an aquifer. Can you speak to why that's important?
Yeah, so one of the reasons USDA was particularly interested in this is, even though we're really focusing on Kansas, is because what Kansas is doing with the LEMAs and WCAs is an interesting experiment and an interesting for other areas, because groundwater depletion is a concern throughout the western United States. So understanding, can these types of policies work? How could they be constructed to be most effective? Those findings have really important implications all over the United States, and certainly in groundwater conservation, but it's also true of other resources even. So even if you're thinking about things like fisheries, actually much of the problems are very similar to water conservation. And so the implications of how resource users can collectively come together and effectively manage resources is pretty broadly interesting to people.
So that helps out that you have some other perspectives on your team working on this project. Your goals as the leader of the project, what do you hope to have as a result when this project is finished?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things. You know, the one thing is just we really want to partner with the groundwater management districts. We want to partner with water users in coming up with what's most effective for them. We don't have an idea of what the optimal is and trying to get them there. We want to help them understand what's the best way to manage water, how can they most effectively get there, and partnering with them and, you know, giving them some greater understanding of how to construct these policies, I think that would be a great outcome. And more broadly, I think just understanding, is it possible for resource users to collectively come together and manage a resource without outside larger government intervention? And how can we enable that best? And I think if we can give some new insights into that, that really has some big implications for a lot of different resources all over the world.
And what's the timeline for this project?
Yeah, so it just started here in June, and it's a four-year project.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Nathan, for coming on and speaking with us today about the water project.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was K-State agricultural economist Nathan Hendricks talking about the project that he is the lead on here, and another K-Stater involved with it as well. But it is looking at how local communities can take initiative and come up with some plans for effective water management and some long-term benefits accompanying that, of course. We'll be right back. I'm Sarah Moyer, and you're listening to the K-State Radio Network.